is Sphinx Radio, exploring the enigmas of the ages and the puzzles of the present, with your host, William H. Kennedy. This is the Michael Corbin Tribute Show. It is March 21st, 2008, Good Friday, and Michael Corbin, the host of A Closer Look Radio, passed away on March 20th, because of complications relating to a stroke. Michael was 52 years old. There are a lot of questions surrounding Michael's death, but today I just wanted to focus on the man and his legacy. Michael Corbin was a pioneer in the fields of internet news reporting and web broadcasting. In the 1980s, he had FidoNet and the ParaNet, which were information superhighway news services. This was long before there was anything called the World Wide Web or the Internet. The first time I saw anything from Michael Corbin was in 1989 or 90, when a professor of mine at San Francisco State University gave me a printout from the ParaNet concerning UFO phenomenon for a project I was working on. So that's the first time I heard of Michael Corbin's work. Now, in the 1990s, Michael started an internet-based radio program called the ParaNet Continuum, and this was the model for most of the programs you see today, like Coast to Coast AM and the Jeff Rentz program and all of these other sorts of paranormal related radio shows that have a strong internet presence. In fact, Art Bell pretty much stole Michael Corbin's guest list and even his bumper music, and created Coast to Coast AM. If you listen to the old ParaNet shows, they sound just like Coast to Coast AM. And Michael had a great guest list. He had, like, Malachi Martin and Graham Hancock, and, you know, every major paranormal thinker that was out there in the early and mid-90s, he interviewed for the ParaNet Continuum. And then he also had some business ventures. He ran a coffee shop called Poor Joe's, P-O-U-R-J-O-E-S, and he would use that to support his show, The ParaNet Continuum. Now, after 2001, Michael decided to return to radio in a different way, in that he started A Closer Look, which was a radio program that was going to move away from the paranormal and focus on political and economic matters, which after the events of 9/11, Michael shifted his attention onto contemporary political events, because since 9/11, the world's become a very desperate and dangerous place. And A Closer Look was another fantastic radio show. I did over 40 hours over 5 years on A Closer Look. You can listen to me on A Closer Look for days on end at williamhkennedy.com. Just go to my radio archive there. And I have a lot of my interviews with Michael Corbin up there that you can listen to over the years. But he had other great guests. He had Greg Palast and all sorts of interesting people on A Closer Look. We rattled the cage of Jeff Gannon on A Closer Look, the very famous White House correspondent who turned out to be a male prostitute, because I went on Michael's show and I decided to see if they were listening in Washington. So I made the assertion that Jeff Gannon was a missing boy who had been kidnapped in the 1980s. And that really rattled Jeff Gannon's cage. He was listening, and he emailed and threatened to sue me over it. And he also, a few weeks later, called into A Closer Look and complained, claiming not to be this missing boy. So of all the shows I've been on, A Closer Look has had the most impact in the political spectrum. I mean, Jeff Gannon called into the show to complain. I've never had that happen on any other program I've been on, quite frankly, and I've been on a lot of them. And Michael did that from 2002 until his passing the other day in 2008. What a lot of people don't know is Michael Corbin was actually a devout Roman Catholic. He converted to the Roman Catholic Church under the direction of Father Malachy Martin, who was one of his guests on the Paranet Continuum. Michael had read Keys of This Blood and was very struck by how true the things in that book were. And by interacting with Father Malachy Martin, Michael became a Catholic. And he liked to go to the traditional Latin Mass of the Catholic Church. He really didn't push religion on his show. He really wanted to focus on the problems of politics and economics and the global elites who control the major institutions which decide our lives very much on a day-to-day basis. Now, Michael's death is a great, great tragedy, and it's very upsetting to me. He helped promote my first two books, Lucifer's Large Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church, and my second book, Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium, both of which I talked extensively about on A Closer Look. I've made a documentary of Lucifer's Lodge, and I sent my rough draft of it, my director's cut, I guess you call it, to Michael, and he did see it before he died, and he enjoyed it very much. We talked on the phone, and I'll be getting that out. I've had a little sound trouble with it. That's one reason why I sent it to him, was so he could diagnose some of the sound problems and how to fix it, because he knew more about engineering than I did, but he did love the film, and I was very happy Michael got to see it. One of the very few people, you know, the only 6 or 7 people have seen the Lucifer's Lodge documentary, but Michael Corbin was one of them, and I'm very grateful that he got to see it and approved it and liked it very much. Now, Michael will be greatly, greatly missed. Michael was kind of like a big brother to me, and we shared a lot of laughs and good times together, and I became very successful as a direct result of being on A Closer Look, and I owe Michael Corbin a debt I could never repay him for his work with me. And you know, he was a very generous man, and he celebrated all of the good things that happened to me, and he treated my triumphs as his triumphs, and that includes things like I was in a major art exhibition a couple years ago. The covers of my books were used in a New York City major art exhibition, and Michael really liked that. And a few weeks ago, this is the last major thing we shared before our final interview, which I will be playing at the end of my little talk here to give you a taste of what's coming up. This was recorded on March 11th, 2008, the last interview I did with Michael 7 days before he died. But the last thing we shared together was the famous author Brad Steiger mentioned me on Coast to Coast AM a few weeks back, and I've never been on Coast to Coast, and as I said earlier, Art Bell kind of ripped off Michael Corbin and created that show, so we both got a big laugh out of the fact that, you know, I was called a scholar on Coast to Coast AM, and we kind of saw that as a mini victory. I talked to him on the phone, he called me about this, and we had a big laugh, and That's how I want to remember Michael, is having a big, jolly laugh. And as I said earlier, he was a religious man, and he's in a better place. So we should all be grateful for that. You know, it's we who have the burdens to carry now. And goodbye, Michael, and thank you for all your love.
Of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
world order, global economy, sanctuary for illegal aliens, national ID cards? These are all things that we've been warned about for years. Today, it's reality. We must rise up and get the information we need to fight off these intrusions to the security of America as we know it. It's not revolutionary, it's American. It's what every responsible citizen should do to protect our freedom. For practical, uncensored, non-politically correct information, tune in to A Closer Look with Michael Corbin, daily right here on this station.
Here at A Closer Look, we continue our vast investigation into affairs from Colorado to the far reaches of the globe. But please, understand that running a radio program is very expensive. Help us stay on the air by donating via PayPal on our website at www.aclosterlook.com. That's www.aclosterlook.com. Also on the site are featured products that help support the show. So please, help keep this critical program on the air by visiting www.4aclosterlook.com. That's the number 4aclosterlook.com. Or for those not online, you can always send a donation by mail to P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. That's P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. Thank you for your support.
Of active listening to hear A Closer Look every day, and we know you have a life besides the radio show, but we don't want you to miss any of the critical information or great resources that are mentioned each day on A Closer Look. That's why we're launching the ACL Report. The ACL Report, a comprehensive overview of the most important information and the best resources from the broadcast each month. Information for subscribers that isn't even available on the Closer Look website. Your subscriptions will guarantee your copy of the ACL Report each and every month. Subscribe today at www.foraclosterlook.com. The ACL Report, a citizen's digest that will arm you for the fight. The ACL Report. Subscribe today. Are you feeling like a victim of the terrorist generation? Do you feel like everything nowadays seems to be focused on protecting us from the terrorists? Well, it would seem that even those that are supposed to be protecting us from the terrorists have adopted their way of communicating their message. You don't fight terrorism with more terrorism. It's that simple. You fight it with facts and truth. And you happen to be listening to a radio station right now that is dedicated to communicating those facts and truth in a responsible fashion. On this particular program, A Closer Look, you will hear facts and truth on a daily basis. Some of it will even rattle you to action, which is exactly our goal. We want you to act in your local neighborhoods to promote truth and liberty in this constitutional republic. And we want you to insist on equal and constitutional application of the laws of your community. Now, if you need some encouragement, we invite you to tune in daily for A Closer Look with Michael Corbin. You'll get the truth, and you'll learn about the ways things are supposed to be operating in this constitutional republic.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
You're listening to A Closer Look, bringing reality into focus. Your host, Michael Corbin. Here we continue with this edition of A Closer Look, and we're not going to open the lines at this point, but I do have my guest online, and before I bring him up, I want to play a little six-minute soundbite from Sean Hannity's program that kind of will set the stage for what Bill and I will be talking about this evening. So what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and then roll with that, and then we'll bring my guest on. So here we go.
And welcome back. A teenager goes on a rampage shooting dozens of people. Now, it's an all-too-familiar story that just became more familiar days ago in Omaha, Nebraska. But like many of these stories that involve a young shooter, we nearly always seem to find out that the young person was recently treated for depression. So the question we're asking tonight on Hannity's America is, why isn't the treatment working? Douglas Kennedy is here, and he reports that the treatment may, in fact, be the problem.
In 2003, Laura York's 14-year-old son, Ryan, was having anxiety fitting in at his high school. Laura is a registered nurse and did what her doctor ordered. She put him on Paxil. She says her son's behavior immediately got worse.
His behavior deteriorated drastically. He was indifferent to us, indifferent to life, the anger, the rages. At this point, he was completely failing out of school.
She then faced the diabolical dilemma thousands of parents are unknowingly put into when their children take antidepressants. Once they start, they're almost impossible to stop.
I was seeing behaviors in him that I never saw before, and they were scary. Called his psychiatrist and told him I wanted him off the drug. But now I truly believed that this was the drug. Got the weaning schedule from his psychiatrist, and we dropped him from 50 milligrams to 37.5.
Then on March 3rd, 2004, Ryan snapped, emerging from his bedroom with a knife like this one. What Lori describes as a full-blown, tactful rage. She later learned he had purchased the Anarchist Cookbook and had been studying bomb-making.
Totally unrecognizable. He was studying Shakespeare. He had knives. He was holding knives. He had knives in his room, but he was bringing them out one at a time and putting them on the kitchen counter.
It was violent behavior Ryan had never before exhibited before going on Paxil, and has not exhibited since he successfully weaned off the drug over a grueling 15-month period. The psychiatrist, Peter Bregan, says it's the exact behavior that schools across the country are becoming more and more familiar with, as antidepressant use among children has exploded.
The kids who are taking the antidepressants, supposedly for their depression, are becoming more suicidal.
In fact, a Fox News investigation found a disturbing number of recent young shooters were either on antidepressants or were withdrawing from antidepressants, including 15-year-old Kip Kinkle, withdrawing from Prozac when he shot 22 classmates, killing two, after murdering his mother and stepfather. 12-year-old Christopher Pittman on Luvox and withdrawing from Paxil when he killed his paternal grandparents. 14-year-old Elizabeth Bush on Prozac when she blasted away at fellow students in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, wounding one. 18-year-old Jason Hoffman on Effexor and Celexa when he opened fire at his California high school, wounding five. 15-year-old Sean Cooper on a mix of antidepressants when he shot at students at his Idaho high school. 15-year-old T.J. Solomon also on a mix of antidepressants when he aimed his shotgun at classmates in Conyers, Georgia, wounding six. And 17-year-old Eric Harris on Luvox when he and his partner Dylan Klebold killed 12 classmates and a teacher at Columbine. We don't know what drug Sung-Hee Cho was taking when he killed 32 people at Virginia Tech in 2007. We haven't yet discovered if Robert Hawkins was on antidepressants earlier this month when he killed 9 people, including himself, at an Omaha mall. But we do know both were treated for depression, which these days, Bregan says, almost always means drugs.
We are wanting to push drugs on our children. And it's really time for Americans to feel outraged about this. Doctors, lawyers, nurses, ordinary folks, parents, teachers, we should all say it's time to stop drugging our kids to control their behavior.
Bregan admits it is difficult to make a direct link between an antidepressant and one individual's violent act. But he recently got some long-looked-for confirmation from the Food and Drug Administration, which issued a black box warning that newer antidepressants not only increase violent tendencies, but also suicidal tendencies. With this caveat, the new warning language does not prohibit the use of antidepressants in children and adolescents. Rather, it warns of the risk of suicidal behavior and encourages prescribers to balance this risk with clinical needs.
There's absolutely no question whatsoever that the antidepressants cause at least a doubling of the rate of suicide attempts in children and suicidal ideation or thinking, because that's been demonstrated in short term, 4, 5, 6 weeks controlled clinical trials.
And he says not only do they have bad side effects, he questions whether they are even effective in treating depression.
These drugs don't help children. The FDA has presented a summary of all of the studies of antidepressants for children, and the vast majority show 50% of the kids become agitated or irritable or upset when they take the drug, causes disturbed behavior, doubles the suicide risk. It's time to figure out what our kids need educationally and within their families.
That's something Laura York knows for sure. She says she realized what her son was going through was normal. And in the end, if she hung in there with his teenage angst, he would learn to hang in there with himself.
Bottom line is, there is no magic pill. listen to your children? Because if I had listened to Ryan, we wouldn't have gone through this.
Okay, so there you have it. That is a very disturbing report, and one that, in some ways, with my guest tonight, I want to welcome to the program William H. Kennedy. Now, he's a writer and speaker on religious topics. He's authored articles for academic journals and also for popular magazines. He authored Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church, followed by Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium. It's a pleasure to welcome to the program tonight William Kennedy. Bill, good evening, and thank you for being with me.
Oh, it's great to be back on my favorite radio show, A Closer Look.
Thank you very much. So what I'd like to do is start off here by talking about the research that you've done. Now, over the years, since we've been following school shootings, you've been a frequent guest on the program with commentary about the similarities in what's going on with each one of the school shooters. The thing I want to do first before we get into this is that if you could bring the audience up to speed on the similarities that you find shooter to shooter.
Well, number one, I certainly want to commend Douglas Kennedy and Sean Hannity for doing that fine report. It's great to see something on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we've been working on this program for many years now. And some of the trends they pointed out in that great report are also ones we've reported on A Closer Look over the years. And about a year ago, during the Virginia Tech shootings, I came on A Closer Look the day of the shootings, and I predicted some things about trends I saw in the that would come out in the showcase, all which came out to be true the next day, if you recall.
Right.
That was about a year ago. So I've been working on this, and the trends I see in all these bizarre shootings is certainly what Doug Kennedy said in the report. All these people have been treated with antidepressant drugs. Number two, they are involved in Satanism and the occult on the Internet. And number three, they all tend to have ties to the federal government in one form or another. For example, Cho's sister worked for the U.S. Embassy. So these are just things I started to see in all of these cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my hunch is that the drugs themselves, the serotonin drugs, which affect a chemical in the brain called serotonin, when they are released into the system, they cause, as it said in the report, very bizarre behavior.
Right.
And it's quite shocking. All of this came out in the New England Journal of Medicine on January 17th. And this involves 74 studies involving 12,564 patients. And 38 of these studies were completely negative against using these drugs on people generally.
Mm-hmm.
46 were positive with negative implications. Okay, and that's very... So over half of the studies they've done over the past few years concerning serotonin drugs, over half are negative.
Mm-hmm.
And what the pharmacy companies have been doing is only publishing the positive results.
Right, right.
From their studies. And now they would have the studies on their website buried on some back burner web page, so technically you could access them, but what they only showed the psychiatrists were the positive results.
Uh-huh.
And you notice in the past, like a year or so, they even started labeling a lot of these drugs like Praxil with a death warning on them, that one of the side effects is death and suicide.
Right, right.
So the federal government's been well aware of this for some time. They had looked at all the facts. Now, a doctor named Eric Turner brought all of this out in the New England Journal of Medicine last January.
Uh-huh.
And the reason you're seeing this whole flood of news items on Fox and other stations, you know, with Doug Kennedy and such, is that people, journalists and writers, have examined all of this evidence over the past 2 months. You know, this came out 2 months ago. And it's quite shocking. Now, the main thing that is bizarre is that the people who take these drugs are more apt to become more depressed, suicidal, or violent if they are taking the drugs, as opposed to people who are taking a placebo, a sugar pill.
Right, sure.
So what this is saying, now this is the New England Journal of Medicine, Dr. Eric Turner, January 17th, 2008. What they said was these drugs are causing people to become depressed, and violent.
Okay.
Okay? Right. This is what the medical doctors, this Eric Turner was a fact checker for the federal government, and he fact checked all of this for the New England Journal of Medicine and discovered that these pharmacy companies like Lilly have been hoodwinking the American public into thinking these drugs are safe and helpful when they harm people.
Yeah.
Now, they're especially harmful to children and teenagers, and I think they leave people's, you know, they cause brain damage in teenagers and cause them to just express hostility and very primal anger urges, which is what you get with brain damage.
Right.
And I think that things like Satanism just pushes them over the edge into violence. Those ideas start to become appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something I've been talking about for a long time, and now it's just been confirmed by the New England Journal of Medicine and the Wall Street Journal. And I'm just warning people out there, do not put young people on any of these SSRI drugs, they're called, right. Serotonin drugs.
Right.
Keep your children and young people off them. There are much more safe and effective natural means, including exercise, water, and supplements. That's one thing Tom Cruise is right about. I don't like Scientology, but I must say I dislike these serotonin drugs even more,
right?
Because these are causing people to go berserk and murder each other.
Do you have any numbers there that you could share with the audience about how many people in the United States are on them?
Okay, that's very difficult to give a precise number because the pharmacy companies are very vague about what their sales are. But we're talking about out of the 300 million. People in this country, I've heard estimates of 60 to 70 million are on some form of serotonin drug. I've been trying to get the exact number, but it's not that easy to pin down as you might.
So there's not really any good, accurate way to know how many people are taking those drugs.
Well, you know, they're discovering it in our drinking water, so I guess we're all taking it.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
If you really want to think about it, we're all getting a little dose of it. So how do you know? Maybe all 300 million of us are on it.
Well, that was a very disturbing report I saw the other day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our drinking water, there have been serotonin SSRI drugs as well as other sorts of drugs that have turned up in home tap water. And they argue that they're so diluted that they're not harmful. But, you know, taking anything like that every day over long-term time is definitely going to cause damage. So from what I've seen, the government and the pharmacy companies are drugging us all with this to a certain extent with this new water supply problem. So it's an issue for all of us. You know, go to a closer look. The number for aclosterlook.com and look at some of the products you can link to there, you know, on the American Freedom Network for water filters and stuff.
Right.
I really encourage people to do that, especially after that report. So this SSRI thing, it affects us all because we're all taking it to some extent, but it's especially damaging the children. Now, imagine an infant drinking this.
Oh, yeah.
In their water from when they're 2 or 3. What are they going to be like at 13 or 14 after 10 years?
Right. Bill, we got to take our break.
Sure.
So, I'm going to put you on hold, and when we come back, I'm going to get into some of the other attendant issues that surround the use of these drugs with these school shooters, okay?
Very good.
All right. William H. Kennedy is my guest. The website, williamhkennedy.com. Check it out. Take this break. When we come back, we'll continue. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. talking about antidepressants. It's been a big topic of this program, and it builds research into the use of antidepressants and the similarities that we find within the psychotic community, if you will. It goes nuts when they take this stuff and shoot up schools, malls, and other things like that, where they kill a number of people. Bill, welcome back to the program. Again, thank you for being with me on the program tonight.
Very nice to be here, Michael.
Now, what I want to get into, I was looking at this report from Sean Hannity. I got to thinking, and I didn't realize we're going to be straying out to the edge just a little bit tonight on this topic, but it's not possible to say that taking the drug by itself causes the person that's taking it to become turned on to the occult or Satanism or to real aberrant, strange, antisocial behavior, right? It's not happening as a result of the drug necessarily. And what I'm trying to get to is this. I've kind of long felt that there is a connection between the use of antidepressant drugs on certain kids that seem to abreact to it and the similarities in what they follow and what they do. And I'm just wondering, if these kids are not being targeted somehow, if you will, indoctrinated or trained in some form of mind control, is that stretching it a bit?
No, that's not stretching at all. That's a big part of what I have to say about it.
Uh-huh.
Now, I certainly welcome this whole New England Journal of Medicine report and the Fox report and all these things, but one element they're really not reporting on, and they'll probably report on this a couple years from now like they did with the antidepressant thing. You notice the Fox News report, the bumper music sounded like a closer look.
Yeah, kind of eerie.
A little bit,
yeah.
I noticed that myself.
Uh-huh.
But you'll hear about this on these shows a couple of years from now. But the link I said earlier that these people have strong connections to the U.S. federal government has always struck me as odd. Like Eric Harris was raised on military bases.
Right.
His father was an Air Force officer.
Uh-huh.
And these people are in the vicinity of the federal government, and they're also under the federal government's medical care in many cases, as
right.
was Eric Harris, as was Jeff Weiss, who was at the Indian Reservation, who shot up there. He was another antidepressant Satanist they didn't mention in the report.
Yeah.
But you have to keep in mind that I suspect these people are targeted and are some sort of trained assassins. And I think our intelligence communities are behind this. And this is all part of the managed chaos that they are unleashing upon the American people. Now, I think they use the Satanism in these various things as lures for these people. Now, remember, these drugs, these serotonin drugs, cause a breakdown of the neural connectors in the very far reaches of your brain, and from what they can tell, when they're destroyed, they can't come back. You know, the drug ecstasy does a similar thing to the brain. They are both serotonin-related drugs.
Right.
All of these SSRIs and the drug ecstasy that people take in nightclubs, and they both cause brain damage in different ways. So this makes people susceptible to all kinds of things. When their brains start to break down, you heard in that report of a normally, you know, socially shy boy attacked his mother with a knife.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so there are aggressive tendencies. Now, if you shape and direct those aggressive tendencies, which someone in our government are trained to do this, it's just a slight thing to push these people over the edge with mind control. Once they're in a susceptible state from the damage from the serotonin drugs.
Right.
And remember, they have a bird's eye view of these people's lives because of their connection to the federal government. I mean, medical army officers had a full review of Eric Harris's files. He was treated on military bases his whole life. So they could spot someone with these kinds of programs, you know, have them come into the base for some reason, and just either subtly brainwash them or directly brainwash them into becoming these bizarre campus murderers.
Mm-hmm.
And another trend I notice is the way the police behave at all these things, they don't behave the way they should at all.
Right.
They tend not to storm the building and get the person. They wait till all the shooting stops. And all these people... people allegedly kill themselves. I don't know what's going on there. They might be killing themselves, or they might be being killed by some kind of advance team. But I've always been suspicious of the police reaction to all these things.
Well, I know in Columbine, there was speculation that there could have been an advance team that had gone into the building, because it was definitely well, it's definitely well known that the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department withheld or did not allow the ground troops to go in, and a lot of people blame some of the deaths that occurred later on the fact that the police did not react properly to the situation. However,
oh, in Columbine, definitely, and I know it's a tender issue. This is a Denver-based show,
right?
But the Columbine fiasco, I call it, was a failure on many levels, and it was a deliberate top-down failure. I think it was part of the overall plan.
Uh-huh.
I think Eric Harris was the brainwash one, and Klebold was just a susceptible ally. Uh-huh. I don't think he went through. I think he would have followed his leader off a cliff anyway.
Right, sure.
And they count on these sorts of relationships. And remember, they have an overview of all of these people's psychiatric records, and they would know exactly how to push people over the edge and in the right way.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Well, I think it's quite interesting. Now, let me ask you this. In your research that you've been doing on this, what would be, let's assume for just a moment, for, you know, just for the sake of what we're talking about here, but let's assume that it's true, that there is some kind of purposeful director involved in a mind control program of some sort. What would be the purpose? What's the agenda here?
Well, the agenda is a greater strategy I call managed chaos. And managed chaos is when the people who run our government, especially the security forces, perpetually cause bizarre and dangerous and murderous behavior within our society as a means to inflict stricter and more draconian laws on us. Remember, they want to control us as much as possible. Now, you see this a lot. The British did it in Northern Ireland. It turns out that most of the terrorist activities allegedly perpetrated by the IRA were actually perpetrated by a British intelligence agent. There's a group called We Are Change Ireland that even confronted Gerry Adams on this. So what you're looking at is that these top-level government people will do things like set off bombs, and their long-range goal is to set up more, as I said, draconian or fascistic or dictatorship-type rules where all our movements and communications will be monitored by the central government.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already doing it now to a certain extent.
Quite a bit. Like
And it's only going to get worse. Now, this is so the rich people can remain rich and continue to exploit the rest of us. And this managed chaos, like having people shoot up schools, is part of the overall plan. Remember, Michael, things like this didn't happen in the 1930s during the Great Depression when people were
right.
literally starving to death?
Right.
Because the government didn't have the technology to do it. They can do it now.
Okay, well, Bill, what would you say? To a hard-boiled skeptic that would say, well, that's impossible. There's no such thing as mind control, and it seems to be ridiculous that the government would be involved in it. What would you say to them?
Well, these are the same people who, you know, back in 2005 when I came on this show and shows like it and was talking about the dangers of serotonin drugs, told me all of the studies were perfectly valid, and they showed that these people are being helped with these drugs. Now, those same people will say this about mind control now, I have no evidence. Well, they were skeptical about my theories about serotonin drugs, but they're not after this Dr. Eric Turner published this article in the New England Journal of Medicine.
Right.
So I go by my track record, like even the Cho predictions I made and the things I say, they're based on a lot of reasoned analysis. And I generally stand by them. And as far as critics who doubt me about mind control, you know, you just might have to wait like you did with the serotonin study.
Yeah, absolutely. And it always does pan out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never thought people like Douglas Kennedy and Sean Hannity would ever do a program like that, to be honest with you. It was only the fact that the New England Journal of Medicine came out with this that it's even being promoted really hard. But they are the sorts of people who 2 or 3 years ago would have called us fringe cranks.
Sure.
Or, you know, talking about, what do you mean they're not dangerous? Every psychiatrist in the country says they're good. Well, most psychiatrists in this country were never given all the information, and the facts are bearing me out on that, and they will bear me out on this mind control stuff as well, I suspect.
Yeah, you know, and I think that it's very plausible that this is exactly what's going on, considering the fact that the first report, the first people that Doug Kennedy reported on that soundbite that we listened to tonight, indicated that this boy was perfectly normal, aside from having depression. It wasn't until he got on the Paxil that he went out and bought an anarchist cookbook and started trying to make bombs.
Well, it's very bizarre, Michael, because a lot of these people who are put on these drugs, especially teenagers, they might be bashful or afraid to ask a girl a dance or be wallflowers. So all of a sudden that becomes a disease, and they call it social anxiety disorder, and they put kids on Praxil and Zoloft and all this stuff for, you know, the normal kind of shyness that pubescent boys and girls get. That's normal.
Well, I think there's also something to be said about that as well.
Oh, yeah. Why do you want to eliminate someone at that age?
We have the president, spearheading these organizations like the No Child Left Behind thing. They're encouraging, through their psychological warfare tactics, they're encouraging parents to have their children psychiatrically evaluated right out of the cradle. And it starts to become quite apparent that there's a reason why there's this dynamic between big house pharmaceuticals and the U.S. government, and this push to get everybody on this on something to take care of these syndromes that they now have a whole litany of.
Oh, it's unbelievable, Michael. And, I've always been involved with what I call the human potential movement and things working to better people's minds, like memory improvement and non-mystical stress reduction. And I have nothing against things along those lines. But a lot of these things like that are much safer than declaring everyone mentally ill and put them on drugs that make them more suicidal and violent, which is what, you know, that whole Fox thing just said. You know, that's the bottom line with it.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that they're pushing some people over the edge to perform murderous crimes just, you know, makes it more disturbing that they're putting this in our water as well.
Well, it is very disturbing.
You know, when you consider how, you know, people on these drugs are murderous, you know, what direction are we heading? So I'll even say it again. I'll give a plug. Go to the American Freedom Network or foraclosterlook.com and purchase one of their water filters there. And I normally don't get anything for advertising these filters. I just think it's urgent that people have them after this report came out the other day.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most important things you can do when you see how these serotonin drugs really destroy people's minds.
Absolutely, for sure. Okay, Bill, let's take our break. When we come back, we'll do some wrap-up with you, okay?
Very good, Michael.
All right. William H. Kennedy is my guest. We're going to take this break. When we come back, we'll continue. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look. We'll be right back.
For illegal aliens, national ID cards? These are all things that we've been warned about for years. Today, it's reality. We must rise up and get the information we need to fight off these intrusions to the security of America as we know it. It's not revolutionary, it's American. It's what every responsible citizen should do to protect our freedom. For practical, uncensored, non-politically correct information, tune in to A Closer Look with Michael Corbin, daily right here on this station.
Here at A Closer Look, we continue our vast investigation into affairs from Colorado to the far reaches of the globe. But please, understand that running a radio program is very expensive. Help us stay on the air by donating via PayPal on our website at www.aclosterlook.com. That's www.aclosterlook.com. Also on the site are featured products that help support the show. So please, help keep this critical program on the air by visiting www.aclosterlook.com. 4aclosereLook.com. That's the number 4aclosereLook.com. Or for those not online, you can always send a donation by mail to P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. That's P.O. Box 18724, Denver, Colorado, 80218. Thank you for your support.
It's a lot of active listening to hear A Closer Look every day, and we know you have a life besides the radio show. But we don't want you to miss any of the critical information or great resources that are mentioned each day on A Closer Look. That's why we're launching the ACL Report. The ACL Report, a comprehensive overview of the most important information and the best resources from the broadcast each month. Information for subscribers that isn't even available on the Closer Look website. Your subscriptions will guarantee your copy of the ACL Report each and every month. Subscribe today at www.foraclosereLook.com. The ACL Report, a citizen's digest that will arm you for the fight. The ACL Report. Subscribe today. Are you feeling like a victim of the terrorist generation? Do you feel like everything nowadays seems to be focused on protecting us from the terrorists? Well, it would seem that even those that are supposed to be protecting us from the terrorists have adopted their way of communicating their message. You don't fight terrorism with more terrorists. It's that simple. You fight it with facts and truth. And you happen to be listening to a radio station right now that is dedicated to communicating those facts and truth in a responsible fashion. On this particular program, A Closer Look, you will hear facts and truth on a daily basis. Some of it will even rattle you to action, which is exactly our goal. We want you to act in your local neighborhoods to promote truth and liberty in this constitutional republic. And we want you to insist on equal and constitutional application of the laws of your community. Now, if you need some encouragement, we invite you to tune in daily for A Closer Look with Michael Corbin. You'll get the truth, and you'll learn about the ways things are supposed to be operating in this constitutional republic.
The world's most important radio program.
What they're doing is creating a brave new world, an Orwellian world, in which the will of the people is absolutely irrelevant. And I think we've had a sampling of what's going to happen to people who do that in the future. I can't imagine this standing. But then again, I couldn't imagine it at the beginning, nor the fact that it's gotten this far.
You're listening to A Closer Look.
Brave New World.
Your host, Michael Corbin.
Edition of A Closer Look. Again, we're not able to do open lines right at this moment because I have a guest on the line with us. Welcome back, William H. Kennedy. Bill, thank you again for coming on the program tonight. By the way, folks, you can go to his website at williamhkennedy.com. He's got the books there. He's got other, various and sundry items, very informational stuff. But, Bill, let me ask you this. How long have you been researching this stuff?
Well, that's tough to say, Michael. I started when I was 8 years old in 1972. There was a program called The Sixth Sense starring Gary Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been kind of hooked on researching paranormal and alternative kinds of things since I was eight, so since 1972.
Well, okay. Now, the thing is, you've done an extensive amount of research into government-sponsored mind control, and between you and I, we know that they call it Project Monarch, but they probably don't. That's not really what the name of it is. But, people listening, I know people have said to me, it stretches credulity that the government would be involved in mind control. But, the research that you've done and what I've seen indicates quite the opposite, does it not?
Oh, definitely. They are definitely involved with various mind control programs. If you go to williamhkennedy.com, you can check it out on the occult multimedia page. I have a whole section on ESP there, and they can see a British film called The Men Who Stare at Goats about the U.S. military's use of psychic warfare, using the mind to kill other people. And it's quite shocking that people's tax dollars went this. So just watching that film, you'll see even crazier things that the government's been involved with. You can also see the ABC documentary on MK Ultra, which came out in the 70s. I have a clip of that. So there's no doubt that they've been involved in mind control.
Mm-hmm. And let's keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that the reason that they're doing this, okay, all you have to do is look around you today at what's going on in our government. You know, it starts even before 9/11, but you take 9/11 and you move forward, and there have been significant events that have occurred that have led us to where we are today. As Bill mentioned, one of the reasons that state-sponsored terrorism occurs is to keep in power the status quo. And, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff that's going on with that as well.
Oh, it's very bizarre, Michael. As I said, that whole case, the IRA turned out to be a British military intelligence operation. You know, here in Boston, the FBI and the Irish mob were one and the same thing. So you have all these bizarre mixes of intelligence agents and criminals and Satanists and evil people all merging together at the very top of our economic and political pyramid. They're one in the same class, and it doesn't matter if they're pimps or drug dealers or financiers or politicians. These people are all involved with keeping on top, and they use mind control to do so.
Right, and the net result is always the same.
Definitely so. They get richer, we get poorer. And remember, Michael, they don't want more money. They now want to control us. They have all the money they need, but they're not satisfied with that. They want to control us on a minute-by-minute basis, something like in 1984, for example.
Right, right. Okay, we got about 1 minute, Bill. Let's wrap up here. And, you know, tell people again your website address and what you've got available there, okay?
Okay, it's williamhkennedy.com, williamhkennedy.com. I'm suggesting my free resources on this show. I have a satanic crime multimedia page, a witchcraft multimedia page, an occult history multimedia page. I think people should take a look at them. They're all links to all the best stuff on occultism on Google and YouTube and stuff like that, full-length documentaries on very important topics. People have to educate themselves in occult history to really understand what's going on in the world and how their politicians are motivated.
Yes, and that's a very important dynamic that I think the American people have got to get to as quickly as possible to begin to understand what's really taking place here, because there definitely is a dynamic or a relationship between the occult and the body politic, is there not?
Definitely so, and we have to educate people. And I've set up the material at williamhkennedy.com. They're mostly documentary films that are under an hour that will give you an overview of what's going on in occult history and how it affects you on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, as always, thank you very much for coming on the program. I really appreciate it, and we'll be talking, I'm sure, in the future, okay?
Thank you. Closer Look's my favorite radio show. Good night.
Hey, Bill, thank you. Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Good night. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be breaking for the news, and then we'll continue. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to A Closer Look.